Hurricane Maria devastated most of the infrastructure of the island of Puerto Rico, leaving residents scrambling for food, water, gasoline, and other necessities. Because communication lines were destroyed, information is only slowly trickling out from the U.S. island territory, and the news is not good. Maura Toramorin is a Puerto Rican native and sociology professor at Illinois State University. Danila Flores Rodriguez is a professor of Hispanic Studies at Illinois Wesleyan University and was also born on the island. Both are in touch with relatives. Maura Toramorin tells GLT's Judy Valente that the U.S. government response to the crisis affecting Puerto Rico's 3.4 million residents has been far from adequate.
My concern initially was with my family. I am from the west side of the island, a town that is a coastal town. And I wanted to know about my brother, about my sisters, about my family. And we were completely incommunicado for at least 4 days after the hurricane. Some information and some pictures began to filter out.
Have you heard from your family directly since then?
2 days ago, I did. I heard from my brother. Actually, my brother is a police, is a municipal police, and he was able to communicate with me because the mayor of Cabo Rojo, the mayor of my hometown, traveled to San Juan to request aid and to talk to some of the political officials and to do some of the business that he had to do in San Juan to secure help for the town of Cabo Rojo. And from San Juan was the first city that got cellular service, and he finally was able to talk to me and convey to me in the most sort of heartfelt language the devastation that he had seen.
What specifically did he say?
It was like complete devastation. First of all of the rivers near my hometown overflowed. The town of Cabo Rojo was completely overflown, something that we had not seen in nearly 80 years in Puerto Rico. Communities completely devastated, completely wiped out. Trees, roads that were impassable because of trees and electricity poles and cables down. No water, no electricity, complete darkness. He just, you could tell that his voice was trembling when he was speaking to me on the phone.
Professor Danila Flores Rodriguez, who is here with us, a professor at Illinois Wesleyan, do you have family over there? And what is it that you've heard?
All of my family is actually there. I've heard from several members, but still many of my family members are unaccounted for. My immediate family, my sister, her family, and my mother spent the hurricane together in Guaynabo, which is near next to the metropolitan area, and their house is on concrete. We have very strict building codes in Puerto Rico, so they didn't suffer it as much as other people. Now, most of my family is from the north and the west side of the island. I have family in Arecibo, which is where the Hurricane Eye left the island. I have family who lost everything, cars, everything. And this is not only limited to family members, but friends as well. There are other people in the west side of the island, which I haven't heard from.
What about access to food and drinking water for your family members? How's that coming along?
I actually got a call yesterday from one cousin who is on Arecibo, on the north side of the island. He is desperate. His wife is pregnant. She's about to give birth, and they're scared. There's no water. There's no running water. They have to economize gas as much as they can because, of course, her wife could go into labor at any moment. They're scared because they are afraid of being assaulted. People are desperate right now. This is a humanitarian crisis, so people have no food and no water, and there being a lot of assaults in as a result of that.
So. Is there anything that your family here in the States can do for them? And I'll pose that to both of you. Professor Flores Rodriguez first, please.
Not much right now. The communications and postal service is very constrained, very limited. Not all of the towns have access to roads. Many of the towns, I think, Omakau and certain parts of the west side of the island can only be accessed through helicopters. and there is no airport that it's working right now.
So you can't even send a care package or money or anything.
The aid is very slowly arriving there. It started today, but it's still a very limited effort.
Therein lies really the complexity of the situation. A significant portion of Puerto Ricanos that live here in the United States, and unless you have access to an airplane, or unless you have access to, you know, ways of getting materials to people in the island, our hands are pretty much sort of tied in terms of what we could do. The one thing that we could do is that we could raise awareness about the situation in Puerto Rico, and we could help. As bizarre as this may sound, this is really a teachable moment for Americans to understand the sort of the historical legacy of U.S. involvement in the Caribbean and in Latin America.
What is it that Americans need to learn about that?
Well, first, they need to understand that Puerto Rico is part of the United States. They need to understand that Puerto Ricans are U.S. citizens. And they need to understand that Puerto Rico is undergoing an economic situation right now. After the recession, the island is nearly bankrupt. So, you know, this our ability to be able to ask for a loan to build the infrastructure is seriously compromised under the current political situation.
Well, I want to ask both of you about the response of the U.S. government to Puerto Rico. Have you been satisfied with the response, and what do you think could be done differently? Go ahead, Professor Flores.
I would say that the aid has been very slowly. We have in the island 3.4 million U.S. citizens, and that is just in the island of Puerto Rico. We are not counting the U.S. Virgin Islands. Right now, it's just the media is paying a little bit more of attention, and it's 1 week later. After this happened, my husband is in the National Guard. He was deployed for Irma even before it crossed Florida. And now
Hurricane Irma in Florida.
And now he just got called today. He just got deployed today, a week later.
So it sounds like what you're saying is there's a double standard here.
Oh, it is.
Professor Flores Rodriguez sort of has articulated some of the complexity of this. Irma had already skirted the island. My sister, for example, in Cabo Rojo, had been without electricity for a week before it had been restored. And so a lot of the resources that had been needed to replace electricity in the aftermath of Irma had already been used for that. And now there are no cables. There are no resources to be able to restore electricity again. So what happens is that we had FEMA, first responders in Puerto Rico at the time. And in fact, there are first responders there now. The problem is that how do you reach some of the most remote parts of the island when there are no roads? And so first, the roads had to be reconstructed. And for that, you need machinery. For that, you need people with the expertise to be able to remove the trees. And then the first responders can come and address that. There is one more point that needs to be articulated. And that is that the lack of empathy coming from the highest levels of political office in this country, namely our beloved president. When you hear him tweeting about Puerto Rico being already in bad shape and referencing to Wall Street that they will get their money's worth, it's really an insult.
I want to hear you on that, Professor Flores Rodriguez. What was your reaction to those comments?
I think that the response has been very slow. It is complicated, as Professor Mauro Toro Moran said, by our political situation. We cannot receive foreign aid, even though foreign aid could be closer to where we are right now. We cannot receive foreign aid because the Congress needs to authorize it. And if foreign ships with foreign aid get to arrive to Puerto Rico, they're going to have to pay punitive taxes and tariffs in order to help us.
Although that rule about foreign ships coming to American shores was relaxed for the people in Texas.
Yes, it was relaxed for people in Texas and Florida.
Both of you teach. I want to talk to you about what your students are saying. Do you have any students who are from Puerto Rico or have family in Puerto Rico?
Yes, I do. But this is something that should compete to every American citizen, not only Puerto Ricans, because this is a precedent. This is creating a precedent for how American citizens overall are being treated in the United States by their government, not paying attention to 3.4 million people in Puerto Rico means that this could also happen here.
Thank you
every
so
American
much.
Citizen
so we're doing
should
it.
Pay attention to how the governments are taking care of it. Now, for my students, going back to your question, I have made them very aware of what's happening. Even some of my students were not aware. They're young. They don't tend to hear as much news as we would want to. But I have made them very aware. I'm actually trying to collect emergency supplies in my institution, and they already approached me and said, I am sorry, professor, I'm going to try to help. I asked them to call their representatives to exert pressure into Congress and the government so we can get the help we need and we deserve.
Do you know if those students have relatives over there, though?
I'm sure they have. I also know of employees in my institution who haven't been able at this day to reach to their parents, the elderly parents and family members. So this is still something that it's going on.
Well, final question for both of you. If you were able to get the president's ear, President Trump's ear, and the ear of Congress, what would you say? What do you want to see happen to help Puerto Rico? Professor Flores Rodriguez?
What we would ask is for the President of the United States to reconsider his position on allowing for foreign ships
to bring in aid.
To bring in aid into the island. I would also ask him to consider health care parity in all federal programs, because Puerto Ricans have a long history of not having health care repairs. So everything is more expensive for us. And right now, we don't have the economic means. We are trying to rebuild a whole country. Those two things and a quicker response. And I know that the military is already working on it, and FEMA and several federal institutions are working towards bringing us help. But I think that those two elements are of imperative necessity right now.
Professor Toro Mourn.
Aid is very important. Material, economic aid is very important, but also a sense of empathy. In a sense that you care about the island of Puerto Rico and its American citizens. I think that when you create an atmosphere where you racialize and you humiliate Americans, it really sends a message to the rest of Americans that we should not care. And indeed, this is a crisis like we have not seen in the island of Puerto Rico. And the repercussions of this crisis have yet to be felt. Aftermath of the economic recession of 2008, we began to see massive movements, migrations to the United States, making Florida, for example, now the state with the largest growing Puerto Rican population. Imagine what this is going to do in the context of sort of the Puerto Rican communities that are already here and the desire for Puerto Ricanos to really reconstitute their families and reconstitute their lives the way they had before the hurricane. I think the hurricane has really revealed 100 years of U.S. colonization that is really, you're beginning to see the collapse of sort of the infrastructure, the lack of attention, and the political limbo that exists right now in the island. So I would say aid is very important. Empathy is even more important. And of course, reconsideration of the debt. Because that's really sort of part of the economic crisis of Puerto Rico. What are we going to do with that debt? Relieve that debt in order for Puerto Rico to be able to build the infrastructure.
Professor Mauro Toro Mourn is of the Sociology Department at ISU, and Professor Denali Flores Rodriguez is a professor of Hispanic Studies at Illinois Wesleyan. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
I'm Judy Valente.
The White House earlier today authorized a waiver to loosen shipping rules regarding Puerto Rico. Island officials say the waiver will help in the recovery. You're listening to Sound Ideas.